This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Does your home phone ring off the hook at dinner time almost every night, and then there's some hard luck story on the other end about some needy first responders or children with cancer or puppies who are hungry? That might be because once you gave to some weaselly charity and now you're on a list. They know that you're a soft touch, and that information was shared with other shifty nonprofits looking to separate you from your money. This is the way that some of America's worst charities operate. Kendall Taggart is a data reporter for the Center Investigative Reporting, and Chris Hundley is a reporter for the Tampa Bay Times. Together, they investigated and tracked down the nation's worst charities. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, and we also have invite callers to join the conversation. The number is 614-8980, and you can email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, Chris, over at the Tampa Bay Times, there are about 1.6 million tax-exempt organizations in the United States. How do you go about smoking out the worst ones?
Well, we looked at one very simple benchmark, how much these charities paid to outside telemarketers and other kinds of solicitors over time. We found out initially that a very small percentage of charities in the U.S., only about 4%, even use these kinds of telemarketers. So you're talking about the outliers here. And then even further, we looked at data to see who had done this for a decade, who was giving the majority of the donation back to the telemarketer year after year after year, and that's how we came up with the list of the 50 worst.
So telemarketing, that's a red flag. If they're using that tactic, then they probably are not a above-the-board generous charity. They're probably keeping a lot of the money that they rake in. How much, Kendall, are they keeping?
The charities we looked at, it's not only that they were using telemarketers, but also that they were dependent on telemarketers for most of the money they raised. And the problem is that telemarketers take about 80, 90, sometimes even more than that, of percent of every dollar donated. So the worst charity on our list, which was called Kids Wish Network, gave $110 million to its corporate solicitors over the last decade. And that's about 80% of the money that had been raised in their name.
So this is stunning to see hear these numbers, that 90% or more of the money that they raise is going where? I mean, is it going to the telemarketers, or is it going to some guy in the Bahamas, Kendall?
Well, in many cases, these are telemarketers based in the U.S., but one thing we did find is that these companies can change their name over time, and many of the bad actors have been in this business for decades. So it's going into someone's pocket and covering some of their costs. But when you think of one charitable dollar and that only 20% or even less might actually make it to the cause you supported, I think most donors aren't aware that that's what's happening when they give over the phone.
So, Chris, how much money is going into this way? How much people are giving?
Well, what we found was over a decade, these 50 charities alone had raised about $1.35 billion. And the outside solicitors, the professional for-profit companies, kept almost a billion of that.
So these are people who's giving? Who are the typical givers?
You're talking about the average American who picks up the phone and hears a hard luck story and has a good heart and sends in $10, $20, $50. So these are not generally huge donations. They're, taken out of people's wallets and put in the mail, and we were surprised, frankly, when it turned out that it was over $1 billion had been raised in this way just by these 50 charities.
So they're calling people, and people are at home. They may have be living paycheck to paycheck, but they figure there are people out
right.
there who've got it worse than them, and these might be the people who are least likely who should be giving,
Right.
Kendall, you're a data reporter for the Center of Investigative Reporting. Explain what that is for folks who aren't familiar with those terms.
Sure. As a data reporter, we focus on making sure that we can quantify some of the issues that we see. And part of where Chris and I started with this story is both having a sense that there has been media coverage of charities here and there, but they're usually single anecdotes, and it was really hard to get a systemic look at how big a problem is this and how many people out there are doing this year after year, these bad charities. So we, Kirsten and I, compiled a data set that would really help us answer that question and flag the ones who'd been operating in plain sight, to be honest.
So operating in plain sight, how do you mean by that?
Well, the records that we use to identify these charities are all public records. They're filed with state regulators or with the IRS. And Chris and I crunched those numbers to be able to identify these 50 worst. But it's not as though they were hidden or that regulators couldn't also do the same thing.
I mean, as you report on these bad actors, these bad charities, nonprofits, is there a concern that people will paint all charities and fundraising with the same broad brush, Kendall?
Certainly. I think the most common question that we've gotten since this series ran is, are you going to do a list of the 50 best charities? And there are lots of charities out there doing good work. Unfortunately, the data that we use to identify bad actors is not the same information you'd need to know what the best charity is. Every charity is going to have some kind of fundraising cost, so we couldn't just sort of invert our metric and look at charities that spend $0 on fundraising, because that's probably not true either.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. When we have our fundraisers, public radio, people are going to say, hey, what are you going to do with my information? And so, Chris, that's we always assure our givers that we keep our information. We don't share it with others. But, Chris, these organizations do share information. Once someone gives, they get on a lot of lists, right?
Exactly. And that's great that you tell your donors that you protect their information. What we found are these charities basically hire the telemarketers. The telemarketers have a dozen or so charities that they are calling, on whose behalf they're calling. And so when people give to one of those charities, their name just gets passed to all the other charities, and they're done repeatedly. So instead of a charity or a nonprofit like public radio building a relationship with a donor, that donor is basically drained for every possible cause out there.
Well, now, Chris, we've heard a lot about the no-call list and that you
right.
can try and block callers. Is that working?
No, because charities and the telemarketers who call on their behalf are exempt from the do-not-call lists. So you can be on a do-not-call list, a federal or state do-not-call list, but that doesn't make any difference if you're a telemarketer for a charity. You're still allowed to call that number.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about the failure of regulations, attempts to clamp down on these bad actors, these worst charities in the nation, name some of the names of some of these organizations as well, figured out how these two great reporters managed to tease out all this information and process it and get it out to us. And we're going to continue the conversation. Call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got some inside information about how these groups operate, we'd love to hear from you. And you can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Hello? I'm calling for Woman to Woman Breast Cancer Foundation.
I'm calling from the Child Dream Foundation.
Firefighters Burn Fund. We're doing our statewide drive to provide assistance to burn victims.
DC National Cancer Coalition. We're still with our state campaign fires.
A lot of these kids have been in the hospital their whole life. They've got cancer, cystic fibrosis, or leukemia. What we're trying to do is just get them out for a few days. Show them a good time and let them be kids again.
We help out with Aunt Foster up there for the kids. That's where they send all the burn victims up there to let them know that they're not alone.
The foundation promotes an aggressive treatment for those suffering from breast cancer.
It goes a long way. It's not just about the medication and treatment for children.
I just need to know what amount I'd be comfortable
with. You have a patron pledge of 15 this year. Would that be okay?
I could probably do 15.
How much?
15. Would that
help? Okay. Well, the only reason I asked is because we did raise our price up to 20.
How much of my $15 would go to the women with breast cancer?
100% donation goes into the fund for these cancer patients.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX, and that is audio from a video produced in cooperation with this story about the worst charities in the country. We're talking about this right now because this is the giving season. You know, Americans are known as people who we like to give. We are givers, but we want to know that the people that we're giving the money to, that it's ending up where it's supposed to go. And the Center for Investigative Reporting and also the Tampa Bay Times did a breakthrough, a reporting on these charities. And so and we heard it was like these hard sells. They call up people, Kendall, and they tell them, you know, if you give, you're going to help. But the problem is all of this money, despite their promises, most of the dollars, they're not going to go to the people in need, right?
Right. That is a problem.
And so why is that legal? Why can they do that, Kendall?
So there's a legal history that's pretty interesting, but essentially three Supreme Court cases have pushed back on state regulators who tried to put a cap and basically say, if you want to fundraise, only, you know, 30%, for example, can be kept by the telemarketer. After a couple Supreme Court rulings, those kinds of laws became illegal. The Supreme Court said that's a violation of the First Amendment to put a cap on how much people can pay their fundraisers, would make it hard for causes that aren't compelling to get their message out. The problem is, if you look at the charities on our list of the 50 worst, these are not unpopular causes. It's, you know, things like raising money for terminally ill children to grant them a last wish, cancer, veterans, firefighters, or police who have died in the line of duty. I wouldn't put those in the category of unpopular causes.
So Chris Hundley over at Tampa Bay Times, there was basically one big lawyer who handled a lot of these firms, and he's developed an expertise in defending them from this pushback, right?
Right, right. Errol Koplowitz is that lawyer. He has the biggest nonprofit law practice in the country, representing both charities and the professional solicitors. He is, in fact, the lawyer who won the two Supreme Court cases that established the right of charities to pay as much as they want to the fundraisers in the name of free speech.
He reminds me of the Better Call Saul guy from Breaking Bad, a lawyer who he really believes in what he's doing, but he has a sort of a twisted. I mean, he believes it. He thinks he's doing the ethical right thing, right? At least he makes a good case for that.
He definitely makes that case and made it persuasively twice in front of the Supreme Court.
So let's talk about best practices. We heard on that audio someone said, I want to know that these dollars are actually going to go help these breast cancer victims, and the person on the other end of the telemarketing line says, oh, yeah, that will. So evidently they can mislead in this telemarketing. That's not going to be a guarantee that your dollars are going to go where they say they are. Kendall?
Well, when most states have consumer protection laws that mean if you ask a telemarketer on the phone how much of my money is going to go to charity and how much is your firm going to keep, they're supposed to tell you what that percentage is. They don't have to tell you if you don't ask. But the problem is, in many of the recordings that you just played, which were recorded on an undercover phone line that the Iowa Attorney General's office uses to catch bad actors in the act, they don't necessarily tell you the truth. So you can ask that question, but these are telemarketers who are often paid minimum wage and doing almost everything they can to get a sale. So there's no way to know for sure that you're being told the truth over the phone.
So Chris, the telemarketers, do they get a commission?
Their salary is based on the number of sales that they make in a week's time. So, yes, in fact, their pay is based on how many sales they make.
And it's not just telemarketers, but it's also door-to-door work as well.
It can be. We found that it's largely both telemarketing and then direct mail. People who get flooded with direct mailers from every charity on earth are often, you know, they're in a position where they feel like they have to give. They send them a little premium gift, you know, a calendar or even a dime taped to a piece of paper, and the thought is that their guilt will lead them to make a donation.
Right. So, but there aren't. I'm thinking about these late night TV ads, and they show the puppies and all that. But
right.
You don't want to assume that they're all like that. So, how do you check out an organization? How do you make sure that they're on the up and up, Chris?
Well, there are a number of websites that you can check that evaluate charities. Charity Navigator is a good one. It uses a 4-star system to rate charities. Charity Watch, Better Business Bureau, rate charities. There's a Great Nonprofits, which allows people to post reviews of charities. But we really advise people to try to find out exactly who's calling, find out where their donation will go, and then try to see if you can get them to tell you where your money is being used and see how they're using that money. It's best to give to charities that you know and whose work you know and trust.
So Kendall, while you're working on the story, what surprised you? What really got this? You thought you had seen it all, and then something came along and really took you back.
You know, I think starting out, I really thought that the IRS was responsible for ensuring that tax-exempt organizations do what they're supposed to do. And as we learn more, it really falls to state regulators. After a charity receives its tax-exempt status, the IRS audits something like less than 2% of those charity tax filings. So there really isn't a strong, well-resourced regulator looking out for the average donor. A lot more falls on individuals than I had expected early on.
But what stuns me is, you know, as you read your reporting, you see that there are people who are making a lot of money running these charities, using cancer victims and other people who need help, using their stories to get raise money. And then, Kendall, they're keeping that money for the most part and giving very little. That tears at you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does, especially when you see just how big, you know, some of these, how much money they've raised over a decade. One of the charities that we looked at in Tennessee that claims to help terminally ill children had raised $30 million from donors, and 80% of that was going to the solicitation companies. What was left over was going to fund scuba diving videos starring the charity's founder and president. He was paying his own production company about $200,000 a year to make those videos. So you see that kind of thing, and it really does shock you that someone could divert the money from kids who really need it to fund his own video production company.
And Chris, I read that you confronted a longtime telemarketer in South Florida who started a charity so his son could have a job.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, his son was looking for work, and I guess he decided that that was a good business to go into. So he started a charity, and his son now runs it. And however, he's not using telemarketers, which is an interesting twist.
How is he doing it then?
He's trying to get donations from local corporations, but because he has no track record and no obvious reason for doing it other than the fact that he needs a job, I don't know how successful he is.
But it's a family business.
Yes.
He's gone into the family business of this hucksterism. So so you're doing reporting on this. Are you seeing more follow-up or people saying, you know, other local TV stations catching on and saying, we need to look at some of these other local charities and see if they're doing what? Because this is – people need to know about these things. I think it's very important. We need to have faith that the money that we're donating is going to the right place. Kendall?
Yeah, we have heard both from local reporters who are looking at organizations in their area and also a lot of donors who find themselves solicited often from groups like this. And many of those are elderly people who don't have a lot of resources to be able to go online and research this stuff for themselves. I heard from one gentleman a few months ago who had heard us on a public radio show and called his local public library trying to get in touch with us. And after a series of calls, he finally made it to my direct line, and all he wanted was a list of the 50 worst charities that he could print out and post on his fridge and use every time he got these kinds of calls. In exchange, he sent us a $2 money order to say thanks. So we're also hearing from people like that.
But Chris, I mean, you've mentioned before, I believe, that these groups change their names quite often. So as you call them out and name them, then they can morph into something else but still keep doing what they're doing. Right, Chris?
That can happen. The other issue is that their names are so similar to names that you may know and may be well-respected names. Instead of American Cancer Society, the one on our list is Cancer Fund of America. Instead of Make-A-Wish Foundation, which never uses telemarketers, our number one is Kids Wish Foundation. So there can be a lot of confusion, and as donors have told us, they think they're giving to what is a well-known and widely respected charity when, in fact, it's someone with a very similar name that may not have that kind of history.
So you mentioned states can take action. What kind of laws can states do, like maybe Texas? Kendall?
What most states have in place are consumer protection laws that make it illegal to lie to donors. So a lot of the lawsuits that we've seen state regulators take on are when a donor is called, asks how much will go to charity, and the telemarketer claims, oh, 100% of your donation will. The challenge is, I think in Texas, only certain charities are even required to register. So there isn't the same kind of database that some other states have that would allow donors to go in and get some information. But that being said, Texas, like many other states, has taken strong actions against misleading solicitations.
Yeah, they did shut down this Texas Highway Patrol Association that was based out of San Antonio that was calling folks up and telling them to donate money and that it would go to the widows and children of Highway Patrol guys. That wasn't happening, right, Chris?
Yes, that was one case that Texas pursued. There was another one that they pursued against one of the charities on our list, U.S. Deputy Sheriff's Association. And they, the AG in Texas, fined them $110,000 for misrepresentation, basically misleading donors. So Texas, I think, focuses on police, public safety, and veterans charities in terms of its regulatory actions. The other thing that we have on our website and that we compiled was a database that's usable in, by the public to check and see if states have taken any disciplinary actions against charities or individuals associated with charities.
Right. Okay. So we can turn the tables on them, use the information age against these sleazy charities. Thank you so much, Kendall Taggart from the Center Investigative Reporting, Chris Hundley from the Tampa Bay Times. This is The Source on KSTX.